1200 in the Church Bible. And we return to this book that we've been looking at both on Sundays and on Wednesdays. We won't in fact be looking at it this Wednesday because essentially Little Mill will be leading our prayer meeting. Let me perhaps take a moment to explain that. You know that once a month we organise missionary speakers, and although Little Mill is not overseas, we have sent one of our families to work there at Little Mill, and we've asked them if they would come back and to speak with us of some of the work that God has been doing there. So that is the idea behind Wednesday evening's meeting. Pete Hilder and Colin will speak to us of the work that, in a way, is an extension of the work of Emmanuel, because we have been able to send our folk out there. But coming back to the scripture this morning, we've been looking at this letter of Paul to Titus, and this morning I want us to begin from verse 5, but I want to look at verse 5 in its context in Crete, but also in Newport and in the UK in the 21st century. Paul writes to Titus, this young man that he has sent to the church there with responsibilities, and he says this: "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." And last week we were looking at the whole role of elders, but I couldn't leave this verse, to be honest with you. This is the second sermon that I've prepared for this morning, because I just didn't have peace with leaving this particular verse. And I want you to ponder this morning what Paul says here, so that you might put what remained into order. Why did things have to be put into order? What was the disorder? Now, when I think about this, I think of, for example, my sock drawer or my garden shed. Every so often, I will say, right, I'm going to get rid of the odd socks that somehow have remained with me while another has disappeared into the ether somewhere. Or I will go into my shed and I will say, right, when the shed was built, there was a place for everything and everything was in its place. But as time goes on, you finish your job, you put the tools back in and you say, all right, I'll get on to it later. And it becomes disordered. But what does disorder look like in the church? What does disorder look like in the world? Now, Paul had been used of God. He had preached this glorious message which he introduces in the first four verses. Let me remind you of some of the wonderful things that Paul says here. First of all, in verse 1, he describes himself as a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why? For the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. Paul is describing himself as a servant of God who lives for the benefit of other people. And the great benefit that we give to the world is, as Alan was saying this morning, the truth of God's word, the letter that he has written to us, the knowledge of the truth, which accords, or in some translations, which leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, now that's important, register that, God who never lies, promised before the ages began. And Paul is saying, we're not part of a come-day-go-day religion. We are part of a faith which has been established in eternity. And at the proper time, manifested in His Word being the Bible, His Word being the Lord Jesus Christ, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Saviour. Paul says, this is why I exist, this is why the church exists, we exist to get this message out. Why? Well, the end of verse 4, grace, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. God wants the world to enjoy His grace. God wants the individual Christian, He wants His whole creation, in a way, to enjoy His peace. But that is only possible through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes to the Romans. And this morning, if you were looking for peace with God, you will only find that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had preached this message, but he hadn't started, in a way, or he'd only begun to sort out the garden shed of the church. A new church has been established, but they've come into the church. They've been converted with all the baggage of the world. They've come in as those who have lived in paganism with the false gods of the Greek and Roman world. They have come in with their misunderstandings of marriage and of social relationships. And I can imagine, in a way, Paul saying, look, well, as a young man said to me when I first came here to Emmanuel, you can imagine Paul saying to Titus, it's a tough gig, but you've got to get it sorted. And I want you to get an order into the chaos. So the question that I want to ask this morning, in effect, I want to ask two questions, and don't count the points that I'm going to give you, because there's loads of them. So just think of the two big questions this morning. What does disorder look like, and how do you correct disorder? So I want to show you what disorder looks like. What is it that a life without Christ looks like? What does a church look like where Christ is not central, where the Word of God is not central? Well, the first thing that Paul points out is that there is a lack of leadership. In verse 5, you are to appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Whenever God has worked in a significant way, He has come in His own power, but He has raised up His leaders. He has raised up characters that He is going to use. You go through the Bible, you find Abraham, you find Moses, you find Joshua, you find David. In the New Testament, you've got Peter, you've got Paul. In history, you have got your Martin Luther's, you've got Calvin. You have got John Wesley and George Whitfield. You have got Lloyd-Jones. You have got John Stott. God raises up these characters. Last week, we were looking at the responsibilities of elders. Or are they simply elders? No, in verse 7, we are told that they are overseers. And we are told that they are stewards. And when God begins to work, He addresses the fact that there has to be leadership. There have to be those who are prepared to say, like our Lord Jesus Christ, follow me. Jesus did not say, go, until He had said, come. He did not say, preach the message, until He had taught the message. And a part of disorder is a lack of leadership. It is summarized in the Old Testament in that great statement. There was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I want to bring that into the 21st century. The great political statement is democracy. The great social revolution, particularly in the 21st century, has been people power. So 10 years ago, we were hearing about the Arab Spring. Now it's democracy. It's good and right. The rule of the people, by the people, for the people, is the summary of democracy. But God will raise up his leaders in society and in the church when he is correcting disorder. So, the first mark of disorder is a lack of leadership. The second mark is the breakdown of society. Look at verse 11, because here Paul talks about false teachers. And he says they must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families. And sadly, this word upsetting is not simply saying, oh, you've upset me, I'm off for 5 minutes. No, it is totally overthrowing the God-given pattern of family life. It is corrupting the glorious gift that God has given to us within marriage and within the family. I didn't know the news that we were going to announce this morning, but I'm delighted that we have got a couple saying, yes, we want to follow God's pattern of marriage. We want to form another family unit. Look around you, friends. Pressure from the government to appoint responsible persons within government to look after children. What are they doing? They are overthrowing the family. They are getting rid of God's established order. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that none of our families is perfect, but God has established his pattern, one man, one woman, in the lifelong commitment of marriage, for the procreation of children, for the upbringing of children, for the, if you like, the sending out of children and letting them go into the world. Lack of leadership. Breakdown of God's social order. Lack of respect. Look at verse 10. Those, for there are many who are insubordinate. And we have this, don't we, throughout our society today. I know my rights. Even though there may be leadership in place, who are you to tell me what I can do? And that's not just mature adults who have thought things through. That is coming from children who are young and have not yet been taught to reason biblically or to reason with the input of extra knowledge. There is a lack of respect, and that is a sign of disorder. There is what is described in verse 10 as empty talkers, those who are self-opinionated. I know what I think. I don't care what you think. If it works for you, that's fine. But friends, if I'm doing this over here, and you are doing that over there, and we are working contrary one to the other, are we going to establish society? Are we going to work together to produce an order? No, we will produce disorder. And yet there are many people who want to hear. Let me, I'm probably going to be unwise in using this example, but I am going to use it. You think of how, I'll put it like this to be positive. You think of how Facebook is used or misused. You think how social media is misused. People are saying, this is what I think without reference to anybody else. And people are empty talkers. They're self-opinionated. And what is it doing? It is producing chaos. There's an old saying, isn't there? A still tongue keeps a wise head. Our society is demonstrating disorder and the destruction of God's created order within society and within the family. And we have to lay again those great foundations. The marriage service says that society can only be secure where marriage is held in honour. And that is marriage between the believer and another believer, between the pagan and another pagan. And I believe that marriage is a human gift from God. But for us as Christians, it must always be within the family of faith. And then a fifth word that Paul uses to describe disorder is in verse 10. He uses the word deceivers. And been interested in recent days since the election of a certain president. We have got a concept, an idea these days known as false news. Is this what Paul is talking about here? People who go out of their way to deceive. The distribution of misinformation. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Disorder is rampant around us, and it has to be established afresh. Now, Paul has given those five insights, but notice what he does in verse 12. Here he gives us four more insights, but they're not his own. They're insights that come from a pagan poet. Verse 12 says, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Four powerful words. And Paul is saying, are you upset by what I've been saying here about these five points of disorder? Well, hang on. Let's put it in a context. It's not only me saying it. The converted Jew who has had a great education. Go to your own scholars. They are saying exactly the same thing. You were offended when I called you deceivers? Well, this poet says that Cretans are always liars. A person who falsifies. A person who often plays down the truth. And he uses this very strong term, evil beasts. And he is describing human beings as animals. And let's be honest, friends. There can be times and the behavior of certain human beings is like that of animals. And bestial. It is evil. And Paul is saying, your poets say exactly the same thing. Lazy. Now, it's used here as an adjective to describe gluttons. But this can be said of many within the culture that Paul was addressing. It can be said within our own culture. People being afraid of hard work. And here I'm not talking disparagingly about the unemployed or anything like that. I'm not making a comment like that. But our society is geared to leisure. And yet God created us for work. And I was brought up with the principle that hard work never killed anyone. And yet today oh no, I can't do that. It's adding to the stress and burden of my life. I've got to get to the gym. I've got to sit down and read. I've got to spend time with a computer game. Friends, what is being said in the New Testament describes our culture. I'll leave the last word. Gluttons. Because I've often said to people, I've never preached a sermon on gluttony, but it's here. And I'm a man who likes my food. And, you know, do I have to put my hand up and say, yeah, maybe I do need to be more tempered in this area. But let's put it out there in the wider spectrum. I know for 40 years there has been research and propaganda with reference to cholesterol and fatty foods and cutting down on this and cutting down on that. You walk the streets of Newport. You walk the streets of the Valleys, an area known for its poverty. You walk the streets of London, and obesity is a huge problem. What does this say about 21st century British culture? It is disordered. God is not central. God is not in the place that he should be. So, having asked the question, what does this order look like? I now want to answer or to address the question, how do you correct disorder? And here, I want to come back to verse 5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every church as I directed you. How do you correct disorder? You correct disorder by the word of God. Paul is not here saying, well, this is my opinion, this is my suggestion. Paul isn't sitting down with Titus and saying, well, let's reflect on this, and you give me your opinion, and we'll see how we can each grow through this. No, Paul is saying, I am an apostle. I have been sent with authority. I am a servant of God. I've got no authority on my own, but I have got the authority of God. And I am telling you, Titus, this is what you must do. Is he being a pompous, arrogant man? No. He is living as a servant of God. He is living knowing that he is accountable to God. And he is saying, what Crete needs in the first century is the authority of the Word of God. What Paul is saying to Newport in the 21st century is that we need the authority of the Word of God. Let me take you back to the beginning of Scripture. Let me take you back to the beginning of history. We are told that the earth was without form and void. What was God saying? God was saying that there was no order in the earth. And what did God then do? God said, God spoke, God gave his word. And step by step by step, out of disorder, out of something that was without form and void, at the end of 6 days, he could, in effect, step back and say, boy, not only is it good, but it is very good. Now think of creation. Did God suddenly say, abracadabra, and the whole lot was there? No, there was order. He He created, he separated the light from the darkness. And it was the first day. And so you go through. God creates. He separates the waters. He creates the vegetation. He creates the animals. Step by step by step. We say, don't we, Rome was not built in a day. And the disorder of the 21st century, the disorder of the church in the 21st century, is not going to be dealt with overnight. When God took his people into the promised land, he says, little by little, I will drive them out. Why? Because if you create a vacuum, you create chaos. God is a God of order. And Paul says to Titus, this is what you have got to do, because this is what God has told me to do. So, how do we correct disorder? We come back to the Word of God. Practically, we repent. And let me unpack repentance this morning. I have given to you, I didn't number them, but I'll tell you how many I gave, how many points I gave to you. Under my first question, I gave you 9 points that are marks of disorder. We are to recognize the issues. That's part of repentance. Oh no, it's fine. I'll get over it. Somebody has got a growth on their leg or another part of their body. No, no, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it now. Don't be ridiculous. That growth is going to kill you. We will deal with it medically. Well, most people will. But we can be exactly the same in our personal lives, with our relationship with God. We can be exactly the same within the church. We are to recognize the issue. Paul has said, these are the 9 issues that are causing disorder in Crete. Repentance means turning from. We are to turn from this disorder. And just as there was order in the creation of the world, so there has to be order in the turning away from the sins that have created disorder in society and in the world in which we live. It is easy to say to somebody, you were wrong in that, you have got to be over there. But let me give to you an example. You have a Christian who has married a non-Christian. They have lived in backsliding, or that Christian has lived in backsliding for years. And you say, you shouldn't have married that person. And some people would say, you've got to leave them because you were wrong. But no, there are children. And what do we do? Well, we have to say, what you sow, you must reap. And there will be effects to things. And we have to say, we can't actually undo this element of the disorder, of the chaos. But we need to help people. I spoke to you at the beginning of the message about the gospel that we preach. And it is a gospel that is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 1 and the end of verse 4. And we have to take people to the cross. And we have to say, you have to confess your sin. In effect, you can't undo your sin, but you can confess it. And if you look at the cross, by faith, you can see that God has dealt with your sin. And your sin can be forgiven. Now, I don't normally say this, but tonight I want to unpack that. I want to revel in the glories of the gospel tonight. So if you don't normally come, I'd encourage you to come. Because I want to show how when we've made a mess of our lives, God is able to take us in that mess and to say, I have dealt with that, I will deal with it, and I will restore you. And that is what Paul is aiming at here. He wants these new Christians to see that no matter where they have come from in their sin and in their debauchery, when the word of God is applied and is obeyed, then it will produce fruits. Many of us know the temptation when we are having to treat perhaps a wound on our body or a symptom within our bodies. We are given antibiotics or we are given medication to apply to a wound, and we say, oh, it's better now. And if we use a veneer, if we use an example of a wound on the flesh, it is scabbed over, and there is a light covering of skin. We're fine. I can leave it off. No, friends, you can't leave it off. You have got to complete the course. You've got to complete the treatment. You've got to go on. And you will find in your Christian life that God has brought you so far. And then he says, it's not quite healed. You've still got to deal with that. But Lord, it's not like it was. I know. But it's not like I want it to be either. And he says, come on. And that is what Paul is saying here. So how do we correct the disorder? We recognize the issues. We go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask his forgiveness. We apply the word. And we seek to live in obedience to the word of God. So what does this disorder look like? How do you correct disorder? Perhaps it's a third question, but I've not put it as a question. I've put it as a statement. It is possible. It is possible to correct and to restore the disorder that so marks our lives. All of the sins that I have listed this morning are present in our society. To some extent, they will be present in our church. Therefore, we must rebuild on the authority of God's word. Personally, in the church, and in society. May God help us, each one, to believe not only that we can correct the past, but that we can go forward with God and we can develop the order that he wants within our lives, within our church, and within our society. When revival comes, the work of the police force is cut in half because the word of God directs the lives of many. Put what remained in order as I directed you. Let's sing our final hymn this morning, which is a call to rest in our God. 790.